everyone. Welcome to this week's Indie Artist Music Hustle with Blonde Intelligence. I'm your host, Miss Ronnie, where I always seek to give you exquisite cranial repertoire. I need you to hit the like and subscribe button before we get started. This week, we have a very special guest. We have Baltimore's DJ Diamond K. And I want to tell everybody the reason why I wanted to interview him. After the, I would call it the epic versus battle between Omarion and Mario, I listened to a lot of the reaction videos from content creators on YouTube, and he had one of the most professional reactions that I saw. It was him and another guy, but he had one of the most professional reactions that I saw. And I think that it comes from experience. So what we're going to do now is let him take over and tell everyone a little bit about himself.
Okay. Thank you for having me first. I started here in Baltimore as a rapper.
Okay.
And then I went into DJing and producing and then radio and podcasting. So that has been my journey. So when I was speaking about, whenever I talk about the verses, which I review all of them, or any artist albums or do artist interviews, I definitely come at things from a perspective of I've done this and I know what it should sound like. You know, I have a DJ ear. So if it's something that needs to be played in the club, I have an ear where I can say, okay, this could work, or this, I don't know about this, or you need to work on this. Or, I mean, because you can have a great song, but if it doesn't sound good, like if the mix is not good, if the instruments are too low or you too high, the hit song won't be a hit. You know what I mean? It can have the elements there. It's like a pretty girl that don't have on the right clothes. You know what I'm saying? Or you know what I mean? The hair ain't right, but you can see this is a beautiful woman, but dude, we need to work on these clothes. Or what's up with these shoes?
So you're talking about like it's a Felicia. You can see that Felicia is pretty. The Felicia has something going on.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
So tell me, how did you get your start and when did you get your start?
I started in high school. My story is probably like a lot of people's story. You know, I had a rap group in high school, and so we were popular in school. And then the goal was to try to make a record, you know. So this is in the 90s, early 90s. So, you know, trying to make a record. I wanted to have my song on the radio. Okay. And initially I sent out demo tapes to record companies, you know. So we're talking about cassette tapes. I'm going to the post office. I got the padded envelope. I'm putting them in there. I got a little, you know, description of myself. And I'm sending them out to all these record companies. Mm-hmm. And all of them... this is a time when they will respond back. So they responded back, and it was no, it's not at this time. We don't do unsolicited demos and that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. So my thing at the time was like, why did you take the time to respond? You just don't say nothing. Like initially, you're crushed. But this goes back to what I'm saying about sonically. So sonically, this is stuff was created in my mother's basement. So mm-hmm. What it didn't sound, they were good songs. But it didn't have the sound. The sound quality was not there.
Release.
Right. Release. It wasn't ready for listening yet. But definitely wasn't ready for release. And so over the years, as I've grown in the industry, of course, I DJed in a lot of clubs here, a lot of major clubs here. And in the 90s, record stores and when that was the wave, so we're talking pre-internet. Well, there wasn't internet, but it wasn't as widely used as it is now. But artists would bring music to the store. Can you sell our records in the store? Can you put our CD in the store and all of that? And sometimes stuff is good and sometimes it wasn't. We've had a lot of artists that would come through that are big names now. Or big names over the years, and then other people, you know, early in their career. I remember meeting Alicia Keys during her first run. So she doesn't even have an album out yet. She just has a single, and mm-hmm. And Jay Records had her on a promo tour, and so she came to the record store, and I just saw instantly, this is a star. you know? And so she wasn't, nobody knew who she was. This is like a, can you do us a favor and have this lady come through? And, but you know, sometimes you can just see it. I remember seeing Wu-Tang Clan perform before their music hit nationwide. Mm-hmm. The Method Man video hadn't even come out yet. Okay. And they booed them off the stage.
What?
Booed them off the stage. Yes, they booed Wu-Tang Clan off the stage. They performed the songs that we went to know. Then mm-hmm. a month later, the songs hit. The videos hit. Mm-hmm. And the same people that's booing them, I'm looking at them like, y'all just booed this group in the springtime. Now it's 4th of July and they hot. And so, you know, there's so much.
That's the same trend though, because now if you don't have a video, your song almost don't make it. I mean, so that has kind of like became the trend. If you're really serious about it, you're going to have everything in order. You're going to have your visuals ready. You're going to have your promotional snippets, all these things ready. I mean, because people are not wanting to read anymore. Right. And you have to capture their attention. They say the first 10 seconds, I think it's the first four.
It used to be 10 seconds. And so much of my foundation is being a DJ. My turntables are right behind me right here. And I'm never too far away from them. But, you know, so it's we would get music and we listen the first couple seconds. If it doesn't grab us as a DJ, then we're like, all right, toss this. But I think that now people have really gotten into this process of whether a song is going to be hot or not. And they're involved in that even more so. People are the tastemakers now, definitely. So, you only got a couple seconds. You got to start out good. It got to sound right. You got to make, you know, something. You got to be right.
I'm a tastemaker for this company called Share the Pros. Mm-hmm. And we're required to give 25 seconds, but I normally try to give a minute and 20 seconds. And I have, when you talked about it not being ready for release, I mean, got stuff where they have said, I recorded this in my living room, but I'm trying. So you're giving your constructive criticism to people more often than not. How is it received by independent artists?
So I do a lot of podcasts and radio shows, and I come on other folks' shows and on my own and shows that I produce for people. And so I talk about music a lot, and I know what it's like to go in the studio and record. I know what it's like to save up your money and go. And I'm not talking about you not recording in the house. I'm talking about you go somewhere in a big studio. You saving up your money to go to this studio and you're paying by the hour. And so this is your baby, right? And so I know what that feels like. And so I definitely, when I talk about folks' music, I try to come at things from a perspective of not being disrespectful. Because I know what goes into it. I know how hard it is to sit and write a song and try to come up with it. So I come at it from that perspective. So when I talk about somebody's song, and I've been on panels where people are not musicians or producers or singers or anything. They're just a consumer of music. And they'll just dismiss something. Oh, that's whack. Or that's this or that's that. Okay, well, why is it whack? What's whack about it? Oh, I don't know. It's just, you know, and they can't really speak. So when I talk about something, if I say I don't like it, I'm gonna tell you something initially that I like about it. Mm-hmm. If I saw, because there's something good in everything, right? I
mean, a safe approach.
Yeah, I may say I see where he was going, or I like the way this started, or okay, the hook. You know, sometimes the vocals are the verse is good. If we talk about hip hop, the verse is good, but the hook needs some work. You know, and I'm really heavy on hooks because that's what grabs you. That's what makes you remember. You're not going to remember the person's verse on first listen. It's going to be that hook, that chorus. Like,
the hook to hook you in.
That's why it's called the hook. So, you know, if it's the beat, if it's the, you know, whether it's the format, I like the breakdown, I'm going to find something that I like about it. And then I may say, okay, this is what this is what the song is going for. This is who you're trying to market to. And you need to work on this or work on that. And so I'm gonna give it I'm not gonna just dismiss something and just say, yo, that's whack, get it out of here. So I'm gonna. So with that approach, I think that artists respect, and I'm not just trying to just be a shock value and just, you know, just come down on them hard without really, I'm going to think about it, I'm going to process it, and I'm going to say it in an actual way and give you some help, advice-wise.
Okay. So, tell me about your experience being a DJ. A good experience with somebody giving you new music, mm-hmm. and a bad experience. Because I know that DJs, to me, DJs don't get, I feel like, the credit that they deserve, because you can go to a party and if the DJ is whack, the whole party is like fell apart.
Oh,
and not even thinking about if the music is not good, or can you do this for $300? Because this person right here, they was going to charge $5 or whatever, or I can get it cheaper over here. And it's like, people don't want to pay for the service at an event, but it's like, that is the actual heart of the event. So give me about a good experience and a bad experience as a DJ.
Well, to your point, a lot of times people do want to pay the DJ less. And usually these are going to be people who are not DJs and don't understand the importance that goes into it. So they may dismiss, I don't have a lot of money to put this party together. So the first thing, I'm going to try to cut money where I can save money, right? And so that's going to be one of them things. You just spending records, right? You know, we're going to cut his money, you know. And so that happens a lot. And a lot of DJs get pissed off about it. I don't, but I understand. I understand. You know, as I've evolved in my career, I understand the business, right? So I understand where that comes from, and it's not like some people, DJs, will take it personal. You disrespecting me as a man, trying to tell me you're gonna pay me $150, right? You know, and so you can just easily take it or you don't take it. But it's like a hairstylist, right? And she may have started out in the kitchen, doing hair in the kitchen, right? But now she's in the salon, right? Some people that she used to do their hair in the kitchen going to still come at her like she do hair in the kitchen. And she got to say, look, I'm in the salon now. Like, you know, you can't come at me like that. You might need to talk to one of the other ladies who's doing hair in the kitchen if you want to pay kitchen prices. But this is a salon hairstyle, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like that. And so, you know, I don't, and haven't in many years, done, you know, something in somebody's backyard, like a you know, birthday party in somebody's backyard. But there was a time when I'm chasing money and trying to get my name out there. And so I'm doing anything that I'm doing anything. And so it depends on where you are in your career. But I tell you that when you said bad and good, you know, artists, and I think this is a bad thing, and all DJs have experienced this. You're in a club, you're in a party, the party's going, people are dancing. Is for a DJ, that is the ultimate feeling, that you're controlling this crowd. And then some rapper or singer comes up to you and says, yeah, you know, I'm such and such, you don't know who they are, play my song, and people going like this. And you're like, whoa, look, I got him on the floor right now. I'm going to check it out, I'm going to listen to it, you know. And you try to be polite, and they're like, no, you need to put this on now. They're going to love it. I'm telling you, you know. And there have been times where the promoter of the event, the person who paid me, said, all right, that's my man, such and such. Go ahead, play it, you know. Look out for him. And you play it. And the crowd looks at you like, what did you just do? It's horrible. That's a bad experience, okay? That's a bad experience. And that has happened to me more times than I can count. And I just say, you know, you got to introduce it. You got to say, look. Reggie, whose party this is, said to play this song, and we're gonna see if y'all like it. It's my man right here. You know what I mean? I know y'all want to hear his Beyonce, but we're gonna get to that in a minute. I know I just shut the record off in the middle of the song, but you know, you point out who made you play it, and then you play it, it's on them. But I had to learn that, because initially it was you know, people just looking at you. Yeah, but I mean, DJing.
That DJ whack.
That's what they would say. And all the girls go remember, you the DJ that played this. Yeah, that. Or the rapper wants to get on the mic and rap live right there, you know, at the party. Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff is always always bad. it always
deal with alcohol at parties. When people want to to play music and play songs, and they have had a little bit too much to drink. How do you deal?
I don't drink, but I've definitely been on the bill with DJs who, you can tell when, you definitely can tell when somebody had too much to drink. It doesn't bother me at all. People will pay you to say stuff, shout out my man such and such, and that's fine. Yes, I'll take those tips. Thank you very much. Yeah, so that the alcohol, I like for the people to be, comfortable. And if you want to be drunk, then that's what it should be. That's what it is.
Okay. So what made you make the change from being an actual rapper to being a DJ?
So I did a few records and had success. And but what happened is that I got into an issue with the company. And the label gave me the "you'll never work in this town again" speech, right? And I kind of believe the person was a powerful person at the time, and I kind of believed it. And I said, I might need to make a shift here. And some people that I met while I was promoting my first record offered me a job in a record store. And then this was a DJ store. So DJs came to this store to buy music. Mm-hmm. And then, cell phones and CDs and cassettes and that kind of thing. So we would have just regular party goers come to the store. And we had mixtapes and things like that. And then so I started carrying the records of one of the guys in the store to parties, carrying the speakers in. I'm selling, music in the store. And I just started learning. And so that's how I learned. And then being his backup. So a lot of people don't want to pay their dues. And so I paid a lot of dues. So, it's a party. Like, I'm carrying the equipment in. I'm setting it up. It's like you're like an assistant, or an intern. It was like that kind of thing. And so now a lot of times guys don't want to pay the dues, And so you're learning, and he's letting me mix early when people ain't in the party yet. And then slowly I started building up comfort and skill, and you have to be able to match beats. Take beats and you're matching the drums together to make it sound like a seamless transition, and that takes time to learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I started doing that. And then I started producing my own songs and producing songs for other people, and then putting together all of those skills, the ear to understand what people want, and then I go to parties and I'm just watching people. What are they reacting to? What song got the ladies on the floor? What song made them sit down? What song made them go to the bar? And you're studying those type of things. And that helps you. To me, the best producers are DJs, because they understand those different emotions that they want to pull from a crowd or somebody listening to their music. So I've just put together all these things that I've learned, whether it is in a studio doing production, whether it is being a DJ, whether it is being a rapper on a track, or whether it's being someone that is writing a song. So I just have put all that together.
Okay. So tell me this. You made the transition from being an artist to being a DJ and doing the producing and all of that. What part do you feel is the most lucrative?
Production is the most lucrative. Okay. Production is the most lucrative, but what I think happens is that people can, you can stay at the party too long. You know what I mean? I think that sometimes you have to be able to read the tea leaves and understand when the shift is coming, when the next wave is coming. And I've been somebody who's always been able to see something's coming, change coming. It was tapes, then it was CDs. I saw that early and I got on that early. And then, from that we went to MP3s. And then so the DJs were using vinyl. Then we were using the CD mixers, and then we started using what they call controllers, which involves your computer. And I saw those things early, and I think that you really have to have your hand on the pulse of what's going on. So some people stay in one lane too long, and then you seem like the person is behind. You behind. You know what I mean? You played out. You old school with, you know, you doing this when everybody else doing that. And but see, some people get confused because you do want to be different. You want to stand out from the crowd, but you have to deliver your music or whatever it is in the form that people are going to consume it. And you have to do that. Otherwise, you're not going to get heard.
So you spoke of all the transitions that DJs have went through throughout mm-hmm. the years in, mm-hmm. with the technology. With COVID, how did you manage the transition in being a DJ during COVID and being a producer during COVID?
Well, so I have, like I said, I constantly evolve. So I do a lot of things with regards to politics as well. So I'm kind of weird because, you know, some people know me in a political circle and they don't follow hip hop music or anything like that. And so it's kind of like, what? You do what? And then people that are that know me in the music circles are like, what are you doing? That? No, you know, so I do a lot of different things. But as far as the pandemic, I saw years ago that the internet was going to be how we were going to do things. And so I was on internet and doing podcasting early. I was doing mixes online early. So it wasn't really a bad thing for me. It was a good thing for me because folks were forced to sit down and you're looking at your phone or you're looking at your laptop or however you're doing it. And so I just pumped out more content, whether it was my podcast talking about music or whether I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about whatever I feel that day and, you know, whatever's going on. If something's going on with the president, I'm talking about that. If there's a versus, I'm going to talk about that. If there's new music out, I'm going to talk about that. If there's new movies out, I'm going to talk about that. And so when we were in the house more, I had more stuff to talk about. And so I was good. As far as parties, I don't do parties like I used to, whereas though there was a time when I was, you know, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm in somebody's club. This is bad for your relationship, though. Let me tell you that. Every holiday, every weekend, you in somebody's club. It's a lot of temptation. You know what I'm saying? There's ladies love to DJ. You know what I mean? And so DJs, I'm going to tell you the worst guys to date. Ladies, I'm going to give your ladies, your female listeners, some advice. The worst guys to date, all right? Security, DJs, party promoters, bartenders, okay? In that order. Those are the worst. Now, when you get them at a certain time in their life.
Wait. What do you mean?
We got too much. We got a lot of temptations. Like, I know every lady say, I know what I could do. And, I get it. When I say the worst, I mean, if you want things to go smoothly, dating a guy who's in that environment on a regular basis is going to be, tricky, right? It's going to be tricky because he's your mind going to start playing tricks on you.
No, my mind didn't play tricks. I dated a DJ before. And
how did it go?
He got dismissed because his ego was too big.
Okay, you know why? You know why his ego was big?
He was always around females, but see, I didn't care.
They pumping him up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I knew that his feet stink.
He had his shoes on when they saw him. Okay, so but I mean, but
you see my face.
I see your face. After a certain period of time, though, so we had to went. So when I was in my 20s. I was out of control. Out of control. I know I was out of control. And there's some ladies I owe apologies to. I was bad, all right? But I mellowed out. I got through that stage, and then I became probably a better person to be in a relationship with. But early on, it's just like the ladies, you know, it's the guys hating on you. You get this inflated sense of, you know, you got it going on. You everything. Like, you know. And so that could be tough for that lady that's been around you when you wasn't nothing, right? When you ain't have, you know. So it's tricky. Depends on where, you know, depends on where they are mentally when you're dating.
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, I like the commentary that you gave on the verses. Mm-hmm. As a professional, what advice would you give to each of the performers on that verses that night? Because it seemed like this verses was the verses that was talked about forever.
Because I love this verses. But when they made the announcement on paper, I said, what? What is this? No, this is... Where did they get this lineup from, right? But when it actually unfolded, it was super entertaining. It was super, super entertaining. Versus was one of the best things that happened during the pandemic. And it has evolved. Some people say, I wish it was back when they just was sitting in front of their phones. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because
you We like production.
Yeah, you like production. You like evolution. If they kept doing that same thing over and over again, people would have got bored. You have to keep, you got to keep reinventing yourself. You got to keep switching it up. They got the camera angles. They got multiple camera guys. They got, you know, they doing a whole lot. And, but this versus, it's tricky because this versus exposed something. They pulled away the curtain a little bit and kind of showed people what's happening behind the scenes. And you know, there was a curtain there and you thought this was a really nice band, and you turn, they pulled the curtain back, you saw this was a junkyard band. You're like, oh my God. What? Yeah. So that this exposed a lot. Every singer that you hear doesn't sound the way that you think. You know, this is like a beauty. Huh?
I know, I go to church.
Yeah, it's like a beauty pageant, right? Let's say you had a beauty pageant or the Miss America, right? And before the Miss America pageant, they bring the cameras in there while the girl's getting their hair done and all that kind of stuff. You're like, what? That's Miss Missouri? Like, what in the world? You're like, that's what versus did this stuff.
Before they go through metamorphosis.
Yes. You're like, what? You walk past him in the airport, you ain't even know that was her, and then, until she get made. So this versus did that, and unfortunately, so for versus, this is great. People talking about it, like you said, it stayed on people's minds. It was trending, and people were talking about it. So versus loved it, but Twilla loved it. Now some of the artists not so good, because this. Shows you, oh, yo can't sing. He really can't sing. They'll say that. And that happened. So, I don't know what you can do about that other than if you remember when Mary J. Blige first hit the scene. Mary J. Blige's vocals were not, she wasn't hitting all the notes, right? Over time.
Didn't care.
Right. But because her music was so hot and you singing along with her, right? And that was fine. So she's one of those artists. She's a special talent. People love Mary J. Blige. It's not her vocals. It's the songs. It's the pain. It's the energy. It's what she's saying and her passion. She's gotten better with her vocals because she's been training and she's gotten better. Is she Whitney Houston in her prime? No, she'll never be that. But Mary J, who's had bad shows and bad performances, but she knows she did the modifications that she needed to do. She ain't going to do more than she can do live. And if it gets too crazy, she's going to let the crowd help her out. She's a veteran and she knows how to do it. Some of these guys have a couple of hits and, you know, don't really know how to do it. And then if you're at your own concert, you can kind of hide behind your background vocals and the backup singers to guide you through. What I really saw that was missing is that, you know how a rapper will have the backup guy, you know, will have his hype man. Hype man is a very important role, especially live. The hype man or that other guy with the mic, you're like, who is that? His homeboy allows him to he'll say some of the lyrics when the guy's trying to catch his breath. Mm-hmm. And without that, you know, it's going to sound crazy because they're going to be out of breath. And so mm-hmm. some of those singers needed that. They needed somebody to fill in those gaps. And without that, you saw what you got, which
I was surprised not because it was R&B. Yeah. I was surprised to not actually see background singers. Yeah, exactly. I did not see that. Normally, when you're watching a live show and they're actually singing, they have somebody in the background that's helping them to stay on key. They harmonizing and everything. And I was just surprised myself watching that versus to not see any background singers.
Yeah.
And if it was them, I didn't see them.
On some songs, I heard background vocals that they put in their tracks, right? So you have show track, right? You have the show track, which will have some background melodies in there. It will have some of your ad-libs in there. It may have a chorus in there, something like that, and a guide. But the only thing about it is that you can't mess up, right? And if you mess up, you got to jump. I don't know if you saw the performance on BET with when Diddy got his award, his Lifetime Achievement Award, and they had the Bad Boy performance. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Lil' Kim. Exactly. Now, Lil' Kim, her vocals were in, right? So she had a show track. Her vocals are low, so she's rapping with it. So it gives the audio an extra punch because you got those vocals playing and she can rap live. So people going second, you know, people want to know, are you singing live? Is she rapping live? And so she was able to do that. But she missed her cue.
Diddy called it too. He was like, come on.
Yeah. But he's a pro. He tried to throw it back on. Yeah.
Be coaching each other throughout live shows, and we just hyped up. But he was telling her, come on. I said, I knew exactly what you was talking about.
Yep. And so, you know, that's the risk that you run with doing your show track. You got to practice. You got to know when you on stage. Okay, sometimes they're gonna play the song in the wrong. So what happened is that they played the song too early. She came out too late or something. The timing was off. And when the rap played, she was supposed to already have been out and she's just walking up the steps. But you know, you've got to understand that live, anything can happen, the cue can be off, and that you gotta make adjustments. The rappers on verses that we're talking about did not make all the necessary adjustments, and some stuff is what it is. Like Jay Holiday, I mean, you off key. And when you off key, you start a key. If you do a falsetto and you start off key, you're going to only be off. You ain't get back on. You off. That's why I'm worried about a Usher and a Chris Brown versus. I'm very worried about that. I don't know if they got enough money yet.
That was the first time that I ever saw you. And this is the thing. I know that the verses was trending and everything, and I was looking for different reactions. And a lot of the reaction videos did not come up till like 5 days later on the YouTube's recommendation. So it must have been many, many of them. But yeah. I saw your show, and you were saying for that particular verses that people might be surprised on the vocals for that one too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, why you say that?
The thing about it is that Jermaine Dupri is if he's not my favorite producer, he's my second favorite producer. So depends on what day of the week it is. So Jermaine Dupri, you know, works with Usher, does a lot of work with Usher. I think he would probably try to coach him against doing something like that. Maybe we might see a Diddy versus Jermaine Dupri, which I think would be better. You can get a little bit of an artist here and there. But if Usher has to sit out there all that time, he does a lot of his songs in falsetto. I don't know. And he's going to be dancing around and moving around. And as we saw with Omarion, if your vocal ability is limited and you're doing a lot of dancing, you're going to be winded and off key.
Song selection, when you're getting ready to do the verses and you know that you're performing the songs live, why would you perform a song that you have to jump around like that if you're going to dance? Now, with Usher, I like his music when he was young. I like You Get Wedded, Just Call Me the Mac, those songs. Like, he actually sang those songs. Right. I think that he did those songs as an adult, they would come out pretty nice.
But here's a problem with that. It's something that Sammy dealt with. Sammy sang some of his older songs when his voice was different when he was a younger singer. Usher's voice is not the same as it was, you know, those songs prior to what, 8701 album, I think it was. Yo, when we talk about those songs from the 90s that you love, which are his best songs, his voice don't sound like that anymore. And so it's going to, I think it's going to be tricky. I think it's going to be tricky.
I think he can do it.
I think he can too. I like Usher. Like, I don't dislike Usher. I like Usher a lot. A lot of respect for his catalog. But this goes back to, if they were just in the studio in front of their cell phone playing their records, ooh, no problem. But now that the bar has been raised so high, people want to see a concert now, and they want to see some surprise guests, and there's going to be back and forth with whoever he goes, you know, at. It's going to be people talking smack. You saw how Mario was just getting his...
he was funny. He was so funny. And see, my mom was like a music fanatic when I was growing up, from as long as I can remember. And every new song that came out, every new album, new CD, new tape, new record, new everything, she had all of it. So it's like, she had Mario, and I was like, oh, he is so nice. Oh, look at him. He about my age. Look at him. But him to come out there and was talking the way he was talking, I was like super surprised. I was like, hold up.
Yeah, but I wasn't surprised.
That was the truth. That was the thing about it. It wasn't like he was maliciously saying stuff. He was like, hey, I'm your friend for real. Don't do that.
Don't do that was hilarious. But, you know, like myself, Mario came up in the talent show circuit here in Baltimore.
And I remember that.
Yeah, you have, this is a tough town. And so, you know, like I told you, I saw Wu-Tang Clan get booed off the stage. I've seen many artists get booed off the stage, right? And so it is tough. I have been on the wrong end of boos early in my career as well. And so I'm very transparent. I will say what it is. And so and that stemmed from the music not being right. The music was muffled, and they couldn't hear the beat, and they just started booing. We didn't do anything. I haven't even opened my mouth and said anything. They just started booing for the way the sound was. And so it's tough, but Mario came up in this talent show circuit here, and he knows what it is. And your vocals, you're an R&B singer, the vocals got to be tight, or they're gonna boo you out of the building. And he the one that got booed. You know, it's just, so you know, he's sharpened and definitely somebody that can handle that. So it was, to me, it was a setup. It was a setup, because he was going to mop the floor with Omarion. That's, you know, there was no way that it wasn't going to happen. I listened to, you know, hits of both artists right before the verses, and I was thinking, like, okay, they don't have enough hits to do this, like, which is why you have the other crop of singers that came in. But I was just surprised at the crop of singers that they picked to be the opening act. But it was very entertaining. Would you go see Ray J in a concert right now? Would you go see Ray J? I think you would. I think you would.
I like Ray J, and I like One Wish, and I just feel like that One Wish is, I think One Wish is a hard song for him. And he, like you said before, he made that song when he was younger. And yeah, your voice changed, and those falsettos that you're trying to hit is not hitting the same as when you're 13, 14, or 15. Sure. So I still love the song. Would I go to see him in a concert? Probably not.
Depends on who's on the bill. And then, but it also, understand this, when somebody's been exposed, but say you like the person, but they've been exposed, so you already know, okay, he gonna give me limited vocals.
That's the same thing. So, and I worry about people's mental health after this, but the way that Omarion was exposed to the world about not singing his own vocals all the way on those different tracks, and people going back and listening to the demo and then going back and listening to it, and it was like, yeah, that was mostly somebody else. I mean, so then you have to think about that same question that you just asked me. Would you actually go to see an Omarion concert again, knowing that all the beautiful sounds that we really like, we was just listening to Troop all over again?
Yeah. I think that it just comes down to
Truth. What's the film? The movie that they was in when they were singing a cappella in the bathroom.
New Jack City, yeah. Or no, not New Jack City. Maybe it was Joe Clark. Was it Joe Clark?
What was the name of it?
Lean on Me.
Yeah.
Lean on Me. Right. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like, okay, you know, we want to have a good time. We like all the people the artists that's on here. So we're going to go and see this. So it could maybe not affect Ray J's career for what it is.
I don't think it would affect Ray J at all because
he's a personality.
Ray J wasn't like a big singer, but we just love Ray J anyway. Yeah. And Ray J is so funny and he has so many other things.
He's very funny. Yeah, he's very funny.
Yeah, little part.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Omarion? Is this Omarion has new material out and new things coming out, and so I don't think he's going to be affected in the long run.
I don't think that he's going to lose any fans, but I don't think that he's necessarily going to gain any fans.
That's true.
Mario, I think Mario has reminded people that they were fans. Looking forward to new things. I was looking forward to something new when I saw him do that Tevin Campbell challenge. Can we talk? And I looked at all the people that participated in it, and I was like, Mario can sing. Yeah, go. And then the next thing I knew, he was doing the verses. So I actually think that Can We Talk challenge even helped him.
Yeah, and he has a song with Chris Brown as well. So I think. Like you said, this reminded folks why they liked Mario, that they liked Mario, and I definitely think that this got him more fans. Definitely.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, too. He's a good dude.
Well, I saw that because I saw that he got a pair of black panties thrown and that he acknowledged to his girlfriend in the crowd that his girlfriend was in the crowd and you know what happened at shows. Oops. And that you know what happened at shows. So I do think he's a good dude because even amongst all that chaos, he showed respect to his significant other that was in the crowd.
Yeah. Because it could get real hood. So yeah. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for coming. And I want you to share your social media, the name of your podcast, everything about DJ Diamond K.
Artists want to send me music or anything like that, DJ Diamond K at gmail.com. My social handles, at the Diamond K Show. Everywhere is the Diamond K Show.
The T-H-A or T-H-E?
T-H-E. Spell right. Yeah. The Diamond K Show. So that's the name of my podcast. And anywhere you get podcasts, just search that. And social media, same thing.
All right. Well, you heard him. You can find him anywhere at The Diamond K Show. You can find us on all podcasting platforms. You can find the blog on blindassintelligence.com. And you can find us on YouTube. And we'll see you next week. Bye.